The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
America's mother-in-law backing Zoran Mandami and saying it's all about affordability. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. Our fourth and final hour on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT 855-839-1210. Great to be with you on a Monday as we start another week. And yeah, I have to mention that we'll be in Cape May in a couple weeks because I'm excited about that. And also, it's Mama Zeoli's birthday. Happy birthday, Mama Zeoli. We're very, very excited to wish Mama Zeoli a happy birthday. We wished her a nice birthday celebration earlier in the show, but happy birthday to Mama Z. And we'll be in Cape May August 15th for our next live show, so make sure you join us for that. It's going to be a blast. It's going to be a lot of fun, and I want to see you there, all right? It's going to be great, so yes, make sure you join us in Cape May, August 15th. America's mother-in-law, Elizabeth Warren, on Morning Joe this morning and doing a press conference with Zoran Mandami. And also, too, we've got more cursing that's happening. More cursing by Democrats. Jasmine Crockett this time. More cursing. I you know what it is? I think they can't figure out Trump and his connection to voters. And so they just think if they just start cursing that that's just going to make everything better. Like, if you just curse, that's how you win everybody over. Just curse. You know, just drop some F-bombs and you know, talk about Donald Trump like he's a piece of S. And that's the ticket right there. Well, listen to this.
So again, serving on the Judiciary Committee, there are bills that we have put into place. We need to have some real guardrails around this Supreme Court, because the Supreme Court has paved the way for half the stuff that we see that's going on. Listen, Donald Trump is a piece of— Okay, we know that. Yes, yes. He is. He is. He is. But in a functioning democracy, he still would not be able to get away with this. But he's been able to get away with this because the House Republicans are complicit. He's been able to get away with this because Senate Republicans are complicit. But most importantly, the courts, especially the Supreme Court, is complicit. And so I think one of the places that we have to start is we are absolutely, they are the highest court in the land, and they have no ethics guardrails. Now you go down to the lower courts, and they do. How much sense does that make? When we know that they're taking money, we have the paper trail, and they refuse to put guardrails on themselves, so it's time for—
All right, Donald Trump is a POS, number one. And then Republicans are complicit. Democrats are complicit. The Supreme Court's complicit. Everybody's complicit. So what? What's the answer? What's the answer for Jasmine Crockett and the Democrats? What's the answer?
That's to do it for them. So that's— So for me, that is absolutely one of the surefire ways that we can protect our democracy is if we put some guardrails on them.
What? We don't have enough guardrails? We've got guardrails everywhere. There are guardrails. The whole thing is a guardrail. It's a gigantic guardrail. You just don't like it because the guardrails now are keeping you and your fellow socialist kook friends from implementing your utopian agenda because you're not in charge. Let's be honest. That's it. That's the big story of the hour, brought to you by Dr. Mike Venaria, VenariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, VanariaDental, VenariaDental.com, with two locations to serve you in St. Vincent and Woodbury. Dr. Mike's the man. It is about compare. It is about, excuse me, it is about compassion and care. Compare. Compassion and care. I just made a new word right there for Dr. Mike. Look at that. So America's mother-in-law, Elizabeth Warren, after she fell and starring in the new movie Dances with Tables, the sequel to Dances with Wolves, Kevin Costner, Indian, Native American, no, nothing. Anyway, she was on advocating for Zoran Mandami. And, well, it's about, well,
are we running this country for a handful of billionaires, or are we running this country for the American people, for working families? We are focused increasingly on affordability. Donald Trump promised on day one that he was going to lower costs for Americans. And what has he done? The cost of groceries is up. The cost of utilities is up. The cost of health care is up. The cost of housing is up. And the Republicans now have their big signature achievement under Donald Trump's direction, and that is every single Republican in Congress voted to cut health care.
Okay, all right, the lies. Everything's up under Donald Trump. The guy's been president now. It's August. Housing prices, for example. Mortgage rates are still high because the Fed won't freaking cut interest rates because this guy, Jerome Powell, wants him to fail. That is very obvious. And it's summer. And look, you know, even my buddy who works in finance the other day was saying, because he's got his brother-in-law doesn't have a job and he's looking, but he's like, nobody's hiring right now. It's the summertime. They're all waiting till the fall. You know, all the hiring managers are on vacation. My wife said the same thing with her company because my wife's in HR. You know, it's like you're getting resumes, you're putting things together, but everybody's on vacation. Getting people together right now is very difficult. So, you know, you're assembling things and then the fall comes, you're going to start making hiring decisions. But I filled up the Jeep with diesel this weekend because it's a diesel Jeep and I love that. And it's the cheapest I've ever paid for it. It's fantastic. Loving that. Regular gas, I think I saw like $2.89 or something in Jers. Good. It's great. But you see, as long as the left can continue, and this is part of why they always wanted to do the war on energy and the drive up prices of energy prices. And that was all planned. You know, the green energy scam, which forces you to subsidize solar and forces you to subsidize wind and everything else. And all the other fees they put in everything, the more expensive they can make things, the more they can scream about how expensive things are. And then the more they can say the government needs to step in and give subsidies and free housing and free this and free that. But there's no such thing as free, and the government doesn't produce anything. So that just means going after wealthy people and taxing them more. Now, the point that I was making earlier on America's Newsroom about why they don't make movies in California anymore is because everybody's leaving that state. It's too expensive to make movies there. And Sydney Sweeney, who lives in Florida, she's an actress. She's not living in California. They're all leaving the state because it's too expensive because they put in a millionaire's tax. And what happens? Millionaires leave. They don't have to stay and take it and get beat down. And it's the same thing in America. You raise corporate taxes too high. You raise millionaire tax. They just offshore their money. It's not that complicated. It's not that complicated. The issue of home affordability, okay, and what you have right now, I know exactly what this is because we just bought a house a couple years ago, and the reason why right now is you don't have enough inventory because people are balking over mortgage rates, and those rates are not coming down, and they won't come down until the Fed cuts the rates. If they do, I'm refinancing. We're going to refinance. Look, we didn't want to sell our house and buy a bigger house. But we had a bio baby surprise and our house was too small and we had a great opportunity to buy the house we're in now. We were able to sell the house that we were in at a top dollar, thanks to all the great work Emmons did remodeling it for us. But we went from paying like 2.5% on our mortgage to paying 6.5%. It's a lot more money. And it's brutal, but you know, we did it because it was like the houses on the market. The houses don't stay on the market. The house was on the market. It's a good school district town. We grabbed it and, you know, and now we're waiting that we can refinance. That's the plan. That was always our plan to do. And I know, I mean, when Mama Zioli, who again, it's her birthday back then, and they were paying interest rates that were in the double digits, in the teens, in the 20s. I know it's still low in comparison, but for what people were used to paying years ago, so everybody's in a wait position, waiting to see. It's not that they don't trust Trump or the economy. It's that they are waiting. They know rates are going to come down. And they're just waiting to refinance or put their house on the market to buy something new. and then have to get possibly a more expensive mortgage because rates will still be higher than the current mortgage they have now, but it might still be worth it for them because they need the space because they had a bigger family. There's a lot of these low mortgage rates people got during COVID 5 years ago, before COVID, whatever, and life changes. Life changes. Your work from home needs change. Your family grows. Your whatever it is. Everybody is in a wait and see mode right now. And so when the president says lower interest rates would help housing, he's 100% right. The left, however, uses that to interpret that and go, what we need is more affordable, air quotes, affordable housing. Let's start building more housing. And by that, they mean high density housing in already congested suburban areas, subsidized by the taxpayers with a strain on municipal services that will cause everybody's property taxes to go up. It's not a free market solution. It's a government solution, and government solutions never work. The reality is that people can afford homes. They're making more money now, and they have the confidence, and their jobs are more stable now. But they're just waiting. Why refinance now when you know when almost everybody's saying the Fed's going to cut rates a quarter in the fall? And if they're going to cut rates a quarter in the fall, they might cut them a quarter in the winter. So then maybe you wait till next year to refinance. And you're like, well, you know, let's see how next year goes. Maybe we wait because when you every time you refinance, you got to pay all these fees. And, you know, you want to lock in something that you don't have to worry about this for the next 20, 30 years. So, or if you're going to, same with buying a house, you don't want to have to do this again. So you're in a wait and see mode. For if you are a first time home buyer and you're ready to pounce, you're hoping that prices will come down as more inventory opens up in the market because then people start selling. And then when that happens, there's more inventory because the people that are selling who have to live somewhere, but now they can get a mortgage that's reasonable. So they'll put their house on the market and buy something new. So everybody's in a wait and see mode when it comes to that. Sorry, back to the clip though, because I think, you know, it's the left using this to advocate for socialism.
For 17 million Americans and give trillions of dollars in tax breaks to a handful of billionaires, billionaire corporations, and some extra left over for the millionaires. And I think that's the part we just got to use as the tip on the spear and talk about it over and
Sounds
over
racist.
And over. If you think this country should be run for the billionaires, go with the Republicans because they've laid it out. If you think it ought to be run for everybody else, that's where the Democrats are.
And of course, shameful for Joe Scarborough, who at one time he was a fake Republican, you know, to just sit there and go, yeah. I mean, it is a crisis. And then the other problem that you have is that you've got a lot of people who have properties, they're landlords, and they can't get rid of their tenants because you have squatters and you have these nightmarish, hellish squatter situations. Like, I'll give you an example. As a Philadelphia landlord, fighting to evict squatters who broke into a rental property and have been living there for over 2 months. Her name is Nadia Smith. She spoke with the Daily Wire. A couple with five children broke into the house in April or May, started trashing the home. And she and her business partner got an anonymous call, and now they're fighting to get rid of them. Do you know how many landlords are dealing with this exact situation, the squatter situation? And that has, yes, an effect on real estate throughout the entire country. So listen to a little bit of the interview that she gave with the Daily Wire. This is happening in blue places all across the country in America.
They are not the rightful owners. I am the rightful owner. And I can't understand why it's so hard to eject someone who has no right to your place, your home, and something that you've worked so hard for.
My name is Nadia Smith, and my partner and I own a property on Thomas Ave in Philadelphia. It's a row home in Philadelphia. We purchased the property in 2015 as an investment property. And since we've purchased it, it has been rented pretty much the whole time. I think it was in May, Rich stopped by the property just to check on it. The tenant was a former friend of his family. So when he saw some furniture inside the property, he assumed it was her property or her furniture. So he didn't think much of it. On or around June 6th or 7th, earlier that week, Rich's parents had gotten several phone calls regarding someone actually in the home.
His parents went by the home on Saturday, June 7th. And when they went by, there was a young man in the home. His name is Antonio Stewart.
You have a key?
Yes.
You don't have no key?
Yes.
For where?
For both of them. That's what I'm
telling you. Which board of what?
I'm telling you, I have
for what?
A key for the lock. I have a key.
No. Did somebody go through the back?
Some other guy.
So who's the other guy?
I don't know his name.
And then he claimed he had a lease, you know, on the property, which we know he did not. He had a fake lease.
When do you move in here?
Now, this is Florida. You just get the sheriff to drag his ass out of there, right? This squatter issue, I have a buddy who dealt with this in Jersey, in a small town in Jersey, not far from here, you know, in our listening area. And, I mean, it took him forever to get rid of the squatter because blue states, blue cities put in all these protections for them. And so, but if you're the landlord, you still have to pay the mortgage on the property. They may not pay you rent. You still have to pay the mortgage. So where's that money coming from, out of curiosity? The magic money tree in the back? The reason why landlord... So now you also have people now who are incredibly, incredibly squeamish about even renting properties. And a lot of places have made it so hard and so difficult now to even go through background checks on people. Because they'll scream discrimination and racism if you don't rent a property, but you're like, but they're going to be deadbeats, and I don't want to rent the property to them. So for some people now, but then the other problem is if you have a home and people break into it and just start living there, where do you live? Where do you live? And then if you don't have a place to live, then you've got not only to pay the mortgage, but you've also got to pay the place to live. Think about that. So this guy goes and finds his Fugazi lease.
Rich's parents called the police. At the time, the police told them that they did not have the right to actually file a police report because they were not the legal homeowners. So the following week, which was the Friday the 13th, I drove down to Philadelphia because I don't live in Philadelphia. And went by the home. When I went by the home, I called the police department to let them know that someone had broken into the home because it was breaking and entering because the back door was broken. The police wanted to turn it into a squatting instead of a breaking and entering situation, which is exactly what it is. I have illegal trespassers in the home who are squatting who broke through the back door. We go inside the home and we find that the home is in squalor. Meaning that there were beds on the floor, clothes on the floor. There were at least five children, from what I remember, anywhere between the ages of 2 to 14. There were no adults there, no supervision. The children's mother got on the phone, was screaming, yelling, calling me all types of bees and everything, telling me get the F out the house, all this kind of stuff. And it was probably about another 45 minutes to an hour before they arrived and or the police arrived. You could tell it was getting like heated because when the woman walked up, she... continued to call me all types of names. And on top of calling me all types of names, she was like, get the F off her property and all this kind of stuff. I said, well, I'm the rightful owner. I have the deed. I have everything that I need to show that I'm the rightful owner of the property. When the police came, they did ask for a copy of the lease. He produced one page of some document. The police also asked for utility.
And understand, there's only so much the police can do here. Their hands are tied in these situations because of liberal cities. And yeah, like, I mean, during COVID, His Royal Ruggedness, King Philip the Unaccountable, you know what he did? What he did is he basically put a moratorium on you couldn't pay your rent. No worries. You're good. Don't worry about it. It's fine. And all these landlords would turn around and be like, but I have to pay my mortgage. So what do I do? All right. We got a lot more to talk about in our as we continue along the show here today. And I want to let you know that we'll be talking about my Fox News appearance. So buckle up, kids. No, because I think the president watched it and Truth Social'd about it, actually, after the hit was over. So we'll talk about it. Sydney Sweeney and woke corporations and what the president had to say regarding all of it as we continue along here on our fourth and final hour on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Don't go away.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, as we continue along, I mentioned earlier on the show about, 552 times that I was on America's Newsroom today with my buddy Jimmy Fallon and Dana Perino and Martha McCallum filling in for Bill Hemmer, which was great. So it was a lot of fun. And I wanted to play the segment for you because I think it's worth playing, and also because I think the president was watching. All right. And the reason why I think that is because he truthed something out after the show ended. And I think you'll kind of get it in context after I play the segment. So this is what we said this morning on the show.
Now I love her ad. Is that right? Is Sydney Sweeney? You'd be surprised at how many people are Republicans. That's what I wouldn't have known, but I'm glad you told me that. If Sydney Sweeney is a registered Republican, I think her ad is fantastic. Okay.
All right. That's all for tonight, folks. Okay. President Trump speaking out about something everybody's been talking about the last few days, Sydney Sweeney's American Eagle jeans ad that set social media on fire. And they're still talking about it. And so are we with Jimmy Fallon and Rich Scioli, who are here. Great to see you. Are you surprised, Rich, that that President Trump has now found a new affection for this ad and this actress?
Well, Martha, everybody loves this ad, except for some woke lunatics on social media. And some in the media who've tried to equate this with Nazi eugenics, which is just so bizarre. But it shows you just how out of touch America is from the perspective of the people in corporations, because they're finally waking up to this now. Like, beautiful women, blonde hair, blue eyes, like, they actually sell products. Imagine that, right? And she's Republican. She lives in Florida. They don't make movies in California anymore. So I think there's a lot to be said here politically. The Sydney Sweeney ad, from a political perspective, says a lot about our country right now. Because, number one, California, no more movies, no more actors, no more actresses. They all fled the state. Number two, the fact that there was backlash and the company said, we're not backing down, is fantastic. And number three, the fact that America laughed at the left trying to say this was about not Nazi eugenics shows us that we have
a shift, the woke nonsense. Exactly. Yeah. And I always feel like, Jimmy, the Democrats made this all worse for themselves because of all of that. And so you can get a second wave of a story based on Sydney Sweeney, especially if it's August.
Yeah, this could have been over by like Tuesday.
Right.
You know, but I'm glad it's not, because as you know, I am a model. I was a before model. in a lot of those Ozempic ads, I'm the guy on the left side of the screen and they bring in the right guy. But the problem with cancel culture, and this is kind of, you know, I'm kind of retrofitting this to that, is that cancel culture taught people to go after fun things that really didn't amount to anything. And this is what they did with the Sydney Sweeney ad. It was a fun ad. It was goofy. And they were like, no, let's all get mad at this inconsequential American Eagle ad that happens to be run by a CEO who's Jewish. I'm telling you, the Jews are in on Nazi propaganda now. And you're like, that's insane. And so we had fun cartooning it for a week, but the market has spoken. 5 years ago, when the outrage mob had power, they might have walked this back. But now they're not, and I love that.
I think that's absolutely right. You know, there would have been a statement. Other companies would have weighed in. It always bothered me when companies felt like they all had to weigh in on things that we also think it's horrible.
Yeah, yeah.
And some capitalized on it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Dunkin' Donuts. Yeah.
Well, the other thing is, and Peter, my husband, British, he's very upset about this whole Jaguar situation.
Oh, yes, he is.
Right?
Well,
so
yes.
The CEO is reportedly going to step down. They've had this woke campaign, and the whole company is kind of falling apart.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Yeah, well, what's going on is that these companies kept hiring all these woke college kids who thought that America thought like they did. And so these companies would bring these woke college kids in from woke Ivy League schools and say, you know what would be great if we do ads with these
like
gender bending.
Yep.
I mean, all these things. And that's not how America thinks. Look at the electoral map. It's red all across the country, right? That's America. But that's not Ivy League schools, and that's not Ivy League kids in boardrooms telling them how to think. So now that these companies have realized, wow, you know what? People will buy a beautiful woman in jeans, but not a man in a dress. And they're realizing this now, and they're selling products.
Wow, who knew?
Yeah. Imagine that, Dana. Who knew?
But really think about that. The Jaguar ad did not feature a car.
No. Nope.
Okay, there was no car in an automobile ad because they were trying to force their agenda down our throats. We used to have Mad Men who lived by the premise that the customer was always right. But now we have Mad Them, and they're basically trying to change the customer preference, but nobody bought on. Jaguar sales fell off a cliff because they saw the ad campaign. Nobody wants to buy a car with tranny issues. Bottom line. Good night, everybody. Gotta go.
Did you notice that there were jeans in the Sidney Sweeney ad?
Yeah.
There's actually jeans in the ad.
Were you looking at those? Yes, I was. As a matter of
no,
fact.
No, stop.
Yeah, there are jeans in the Sidney Sweeney
ad. And she's smart enough to be a registered Republican.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
She's fantastic. But that's the market speaking. We want to go back to victorhood. We don't like the victimhood narrative of if anything happens in society and you don't agree with it, some aggrieved white chick yelling at a Subaru is the reason we should recalibrate our moral compass.
It does make me wonder, though, if America, because of the Trump effect, has gone through this and now corporate America is like, thank God, okay, we don't have to talk about this anymore.
Deep down,
is Europe just too far behind?
Europe?
Yeah, on this issue.
Absolutely.
Like in the UK. I mean,
they have a major cultural problem, yes. But to your point about corporations taking a deep breath, absolutely. Look, I think a lot of what they do with hiding behind DEI and like in June where everything's rainbow, they do this to kind of keep the woke mob off their back. And now we've realized it's like shining a flashlight on a mouse and you go, oh my God, it's not that big. The woke mob has never been that big. And Trump exposed that. Just look at the map and go, you know, keyboard warriors who are angry people. Mm-hmm. The only problem with the Sidney Sweeney ad, the reason why it leapt from social media is because Good Morning America did a piece with a professor who talked about Nazi eugenics. And that, to me, is exactly the problem that Democrats have. When you have no message and you have no leadership, what do? You try to distract, right? That's what you do in campaigns. So they bring this professor on to talk about this, and it shows you who out of touch the Democrats are. They are the faculty lounge. They bring on the professor to talk about eugenics. America just sees a beautiful woman in jeans and buys the jeans.
And if Jaguar wants to sell cars, they should probably put a beautiful woman in the car. And
bingo.
Drive it really fast, you know, it, because also we're seeing this rise of socialism. You know, these woke people don't want to buy, they're like, you know, they don't think anyone should have a Jaguar, right?
Oh, well, that's a great point, Martha. That's
it's like, why are you catering
point.
To them?
Yeah.
They don't want to buy a Jaguar.
But that's so true, and they use DEI to distract from how much money the corporations make, right? And how much money they pay their executives. So if they can distract the woke mob from all that by doing things, you know, on social media to look virtue signaling, it works for them.
Well, we solved a lot.
Yeah, we did.
Jimmy and Rich, thanks for being here.
Thanks, Jimmy and Rich.
All right, so now after that happened, president took to Truth Social, and that was at about 10:25 a.m. So our segment was around 9:40-ish, I think. Yeah, okay, that's when it ended. And this is what he said. He said, Sidney Sweeney, a registered Republican, has the hottest ad out there. It's for American Eagle, and the jeans are flying off the shelves. Go get them, Sidney. On the other side of the ledger, Jaguar did a stupid and seriously woke advertisement that is a total disaster. The CEO just resigned in disgrace, and the company is in absolute turmoil. Who wants to buy a Jaguar after looking at that disgraceful ad? Shouldn't they have learned a lesson from Bud Light, which went woke and essentially destroyed, in a short campaign, the company? The market cap destruction has been unprecedented, with billions of dollars so foolishly lost. Or just look at woke singer Taylor Swift. Ever since I alerted the world as to what she has been saying on Truth, that I can't stand her, hate, she was booed out of the Super Bowl and became no longer hot. The tide has seriously turned. Being woke is for losers. Being Republican is what you want to be. Thank you for your attention to this matter. Now, with the exception of Taylor Swift, we talked about everything else in there. And I brought up Bud Light by bringing up the guy in a dress and the contrast, which obviously everybody knew. I was talking about, you know, Dylan Mulvaney. That's the thing about that segment and, well, certainly the power of Fox News, but the fact that the president, you know, watches it clearly. But the point that I was making about California and how Hollywood left, I don't want to underscore that point because the Democrats destroyed California. Like, that was their industry, Hollywood. I took the family to see Superman because Patrick and Reagan had not seen it yet. Bridget had not seen it yet. So we went on Saturday and we stayed till the credits because there's a post scene. And at the end of it, they show you where the movie shot. And it's shot in locations around the world, but primarily it is shot in Georgia. Red state Georgia. You know why? Because it's a lot cheaper to do business in Georgia than it is in California. Why does Sydney Sweeney live in Florida and not California? Because, I mean, movie stars, at one point, you wanted to live in California. That was that you lived in Los Angeles. You lived in Hollywood. Sydney Sweeney's smart, though. She likes guns. She's always at the gun range. She likes shooting guns. So she's down there in Florida. She's a Republican. She doesn't want to pay taxes. She doesn't have to pay taxes in Florida. There was a article that was written in the LA Times like 5 years ago, and maybe four years ago. It was during COVID, but kind of towards the end of COVID. So maybe 3 years ago, since COVID seemed to take a lot longer in California reopening than, you know, every sane place in America. And it was talking about that fact, and it was saying that movies are not made in Hollywood. Hollywood is a museum to a time when they made movies in California. And in the article they talk about, nobody wants to say it out loud, but a big reason is the millionaire's tax, which led these actors and actresses to leave the state. The other thing is how incredibly expensive it is to do business there with permits and fees and the contracts with the unions and everything else. And then during COVID, when they realized how restrictive the rules were, and it was Tom Cruise who went to the UK and they were like, yeah, come finish making Maverick here. And he did. And we took the Universal Studios Hollywood tour and we were out there. I was doing the PragerU Book Club. I guess this was back in March or so, March, April, like that, spring break. And we took the family out there and we did the Universal Studios tour. And it was great for me because I knew a lot of the movies that had been shot there. My kids didn't know a single movie or TV show that was shot there. And the only thing they were shooting there was The Voice or something. What, like one of those reality TV shows, and that was it. And the reason why is because they need a studio audience. So that's, you get your studio audiences in California and New York, and you know what I mean? It's easier from a ticket perspective and everything else. But beyond that, nothing. I mean, they rent studio space, but that's it. Like, California's over. Hollywood in particular is dead. Netflix just opened a massive facility by Fort Monmouth. And it's going to be huge because New Jersey, even though New Jersey is incredibly expensive, is working out all these film tax breaks with them. But Georgia has become the movie capital of the U.S. with Austin, Texas, right behind it. It's just another thing the left destroyed. I mean, if you think about California and you ask anybody, what is California known for? They would say Hollywood. Right? Leaving out crazy liberals and homeless poop and crime and wildfires and serial killers and all that. I mean, Manson and O.J. Simpson. No, I mean, like, what industry? I probably should have phrased the question better. Right? What industry is California known for? And they would say Hollywood. They would say making movies. No, not anymore. So they managed to destroy that too. So the fact that Sydney Sweeney lives in Florida, I didn't want to gloss over that point. And I'm glad I made that point because it's relevant. Here's a bright, smart, rich, I assume she's rich. I mean, she's obviously making a ton of cash between the television show she's been in, White Lotus, the movies that she's in. She's got a movie coming out about a female boxer who's like known as a female Rocky. And so she's doomed quite well. She loves guns. Can't love guns and live in California. You can't love the Second Amendment and live in California. You're crazy. You heard Newsom trying to act like he's a big gun guy when he did Sean Ryan's podcast? I think that Navy SEAL guy. And people are like, stop, please. Like, you don't love guns. Stop it. So restrictive. So restrictive. Like, give me a break. But it really is an amazing fact of the story that they outed her to as being Republican. And again, no one cares because if you look at that electoral map, look at the map. Everybody voted red from sea to shining sea with pockets of left. There's pockets of blue, and then it's just a red map. And the fact that I said Trump exposed woke for what it is and then shined a giant light on it, and the woke mob is not, and I've been saying this to you for years, they're loud, but they're not, their numbers are not there. Yeah, they're loud, but their numbers are not there. So that's a very important point, too. The keyboard warriors and everybody else. And if it wasn't for that Good Morning America ad where they brought on that professor about eugenics, I don't know if this story would have gotten the same traction or not, but I'm glad it did, because I think it exposes just the foolishness of them. But the faculty lounge thing, again, to bring it local, who did Mikey Sherrill pick as her running mate? A college professor. Jack Chiarelli picks a cop. The Republican nominee for governor of New Jersey picks a cop, and the Democrat nominee picks a college professor. You cannot make this stuff up. And, you know, America's mother-in-law, former college professor Elizabeth Warren, she's praising Zoran Mandami, insisting that socialism is going to work in New York City. Socialism's going to work. These left college kids, these woke college kids at these schools, that's what they believe. That's what they're taught. That's what they have come to Marxism, communism, all of it. The isms, you know, except capitalism. That's evil. And I do really believe what I said in the interview, which is that these companies were for years hiring all of these woke college kids. And they thought, well, if these kids are telling us that this is what we should do, we should have non-binary, gender fluid models and not have a car, because a car might mean bad for the environment. That's really why they didn't show the car, probably, I would assume. Then that's what we should do, because obviously these kids are hip and they're with it and they know better than us. Not stopping to think that most of America has no idea what the hell that ad was even supposed to mean. And that the discrepancy between college-educated white liberals, which is the only demographic that the Democrat Party has left, which is what I said Friday night on Laura Ingraham's show. Friday night when I did that show, it's the only demographic that the left has left is college-educated white liberals. They, so when Biden started paying student loan debt off, who was benefiting? College-educated white liberals with master's degrees and PhDs and everything. And then your average plumber, electrician, working guy, working gal, they got nothing. Nothing to pay down the debt on the van. Nothing to pay for they got nothing. Ungatz for you, as my people say. Ungatz. That is the issue with the Democrat Party in this day and age, by far. No doubt about it. That is the issue. They have lost America. They have lost working people. And so when you don't have a message, it's just scream about fascism and Nazism and tyranny. And yeah, you even take a fun jeans commercial and turn it into eugenics and Nazis and Trump and his bloodlines and his purification of America and blah. And then you write think pieces on it. So while the rest of America is just buying jeans, professors are opining on eugenics. Normal people see a hot chick in jeans, a hot chick in jeans. And then, I guess I don't know what that is. And then they go buy the jeans. The professor's opining about eugenics and the 1940s. And it's like, what the hell are you talking about? I don't think American Eagle is looking to profit off that. But if we want to go down the road of companies that did business with the Nazis, they weren't even around back then. Some of them, there are some in business today, but they weren't one of them. And the fact that it's American Eagle and jeans and the keyboard warriors they're just not real. It's not real. And the point that was made too by somebody was that social media is not real. I agree with that. I've long said that, but I think it's bigger than that. I think that social leftist outrage is not real. You see that when you get 20 people showing up to protest Stephen Colbert's not firing because he has a job, so he's not fired. You see that. You see that when you look at the left and how they engage, and you go, where are their numbers? That's exactly the point. They don't have them. All right, that's the show. Speaking of Jimmy Failla, he'll be up next. Get your tickets to see him in Pottstown this weekend and Fox Across America. Keep the conversation going on X at Rich Zeoli. Thank you.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.